Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday, October 22nd. Are you Reformation ready? We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about some resources to help your family be ready to learn about and celebrate the Reformation. We're going to be joining our friends over at Concordia Publishing House and looking at some resources that they have to help your family do that. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. If you'd like to find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website. Go to the KFUO.org, look for the sponsor section and the CUW logo. Click on that. That'll take you to their page. Find out all about the programs that Concordia University, Wisconsin has to offer. And check it out. I really encourage you to do that. A great institution. If you would like to join the conversation today, you can do so. Here in the St. Louis area, the number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can send an email to family@kfuo.org. Perhaps you have a question about one of the items we might be talking about, one of the resources we might be talking about today. Feel free to call in or email. We'd be happy to take that question. Joining us by phone today, editor from Concordia Publishing House, Peggy Keady. Good morning, Peggy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Andy. It's my pleasure.
I'm so glad that you could set aside some time from, I'm sure you're in the middle of a gazillion projects, but set aside some time to help us learn about some resources that can help families learn about the Reformation and celebrate the Reformation.
Well, it's one of the benefits of the job that I have here at CPH, and is that I get a chance to talk with people like you, or to talk with consumers and parents and teachers and even kids sometimes about the work we do here at CPH and the materials that we work on, and it's one of the ways that that we can serve.
What's it like being involved with that process of developing resources or seeing resources be put out on, you know, available to families and to the public?
Well, I tell people that no matter what they hear from anybody else, I have the coolest job at CPH. I get to work with so many different types of materials and people here at CPH and authors on the outside of CPH. I work with authors all over the United States, and it's such a pleasure to be involved in this creative process and this work that benefits so many people. I realize, all the editors here realize, that we will never get to meet all of the people that are on the receiving end of our materials. But it's also a great blessing to me personally. Every time I work on something, I learn something new, something more. And so I am convinced that the Lord has me here because He wants to teach me. And then I trust Him to take that work, that teaching. I trust God to multiply that, do what God does through His servants.
Amen. I can say the same thing about my work. I really enjoy what I get to do here. And you're right, we don't always get to see the people that we serve, don't always get to talk with them directly or hear from them directly, but it is a joy. And I have learned so much since I've been here. I thought being a DCE in the parish, I had learned a lot, but I continue to learn more every day, especially as I get to study and research some of the topics we talk about on the program and the people I get to meet, the experts I get to meet and talk about these great topics. Well, let's take a look at some of the, you have quite an extensive line of things available for all ages when it comes to education and resources for families. You really have a lot of resources and products that can really help families, and not many publishers or companies really provide resources that focus on the Reformation. That's one of the nice things about having Concordia Publishing House, is that your history is our history.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the things that we are very much aware of here, is that the rich history, the legacy of Lutheranism, and our particular role in the church and the function of our jobs is to help preserve that and help communicate that. We do have a wide range of materials for ages from about 4 on up. So beginning with that very early learner, that pre-reader, we can help teach about who Martin Luther was, when he lived and what he did, why that's significant to us today. So we believe that by using these materials in the classroom and in the home, it helps build that foundation, that depth and breadth of understanding that allows people to grow in the church, to grow in the faith, and to appreciate and embrace who they are as Lutheran Christians.
Wonderful. And later on this week, we're going to talk with Professor Daniel Van Voorhis from Concordia University Irvine about the Reformation more in depth and actually talk about those details and what it means for families today as well. So I look forward to getting into that conversation with him. But let's take a look at the resources. Is there anything in particular you want to start with? Any particular item?
Well, I thought I have a lot of materials. I have about 15 different things spread out on my desk, so I can use them as visual cues. I think that to start chronologically with that very young learner, we have an activity book called The Story of Martin Luther.
I love this one.
It's I do too. It's a little activity book that's a very brief introduction to the man, Martin Luther. There are coloring and drawing activities and stickers, and it is very specific to that young child, to that preschooler. We all know how bright these kids are, so they can grasp this name and this person's that he's a real historical figure, and then the activities also are very familiar to a child in any setting. There are images or drawings, these coloring pages that show the child at home and in school and in church. So it helps put that all into the context of that child's world.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move up to a classroom resource. It's the Martin Luther flannel graph, and this is also one of my favorites. Now, I love flannel graphs. There's just so much fun. And
I just love flannel.
What's that?
I just love flannel.
Well, yeah, especially today, right? this one has incredibly beautiful artwork. The printing techniques have advanced so much that flannel graphs are not just solid colored pieces of shapes that are cut out. Now, this is a high quality artwork that's printed on flannel, and it's designed to be used on a big blank flannel board. And then the resources that go along with it are for teachers to use in the classroom, and there are two levels of instruction. One is for preschool, and the other is kindergarten through second grade. And we have student materials that go along with that as well. This is it's a mini curriculum, and it's five sessions, and it teaches about Luther the man and the history of the Reformation and the basics of the Christian faith, the practices that Luther taught, and then also explains to that child, that 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old child, why it's important for us to understand how that all works together. So as those kids are learning in school or in Sunday school, and then they're going to worship with their families, they will begin to make those connections about the significance of Luther the man, and also the word Lutheranism and what that word really means to us.
Mm-hmm. And this is a resource, while it's intended for a classroom, certainly it appears to me it could be used at home too. Parents could be using this at home with their children, and after the kids outgrow it, pass it on to another family, to a younger family as well.
Certainly. In fact, some of these materials might be better to use them at home. And I say that because that expands the learning, and it supports the learning that takes place in the classroom, supports the effort of the Lutheran schools and the churches that are teaching about Luther and the Reformation. So the children then get a more rounded and a reinforced application of these facts.
Now, with the flannel graph, if I wear a flannel shirt, can I just tell the story on my shirt?
You could.
Stick...
Certainly. Yes, you could. It could be a full body teaching experience.
That's really getting into the lesson.
Some of the pieces are a little big. But yeah, I in fact, I think I would like to see that.
That would make a very interesting story. I don't know if a plaid background would really work for that.
Probably not.
Well, that's great. I love this, and I could see how children would like that too, because they could be a part of moving the figures around in the story. They could help with that as well, so it could be hands-on.
They certainly could, and in fact, that's one of the things that's enforced in these teaching materials is that once the sections are presented, then the kids can come up and retell the story or assist the teacher in moving the pieces or adding them to the flannel board.
That's a great idea. I didn't think about that. After the teacher tells the story, let the kids retell the story again. Or after the parent tells the story, have the kids tell the story back to the parent or to another child in the family.
Yeah, kids love to show and tell what they know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the ways it would help cement that learning. It would also encourage them to pay closer attention, maybe not get distracted.
Sure.
If they know that they might be called to retell the story. Yeah.
I'm looking at the images here, the castles, the monks, and lots of great images, I think, that could certainly generate some good questions as well.
Yeah, I believe so. And it also, you mentioned the castle and these, the artwork in all of these materials is very true to what we know about how people looked and how things looked, the architecture, the implements used in the churches, in the homes. We've done a great deal of research, and we have scholars on staff who have been in Germany, spent quite a lot of time in Germany to see these actual structures and these furnishings and these tools. So that's another way we can help communicate to children about what life in the 1500s was like, and what these, you know, it helps to engage their imagination and deepens that learning when they have that visual connection. So we've made an effort to make these materials very rich to look at, given the illustration's great detail and depth.
That's great, because for a child who can't imagine what it's like to be 10 years old, trying to imagine what it's like to be, you know, what happened 500 years ago on the other side of the globe, and the images are great for young kids. I really like that.
Well, especially when today's culture is so visually stimulating anyway. We are used to 3D everywhere we go, and this is a way that we can help keep them engaged by making these illustrations very colorful and rich. But we know that we have some pretty stiff competition. A flannel graph is going to look very different from an iPad. So,
sure.
It's we can't get by with a very simple flat illustration and still keep that child's attention.
Yeah, and you've done that here, given them the opportunity. It doesn't tell the story for them, but rather engages them and involves them in telling the story and retelling the story.
Mm-hmm.
So, great resource, and we have a 6-week-old. I'm not sure he's going to pick up on the flannel graph yet, but down the road. Down the road, certainly.
Well, very soon. Very soon.
That's right.
He will be. He will be interested in moving those pieces, and yeah, that'll be fun for him. So then we have some picture book type books for older readers. And I say older, that by the time a child gets to third grade, perhaps, they're not as interested in picture books. They're reading chapter books. But we have a couple of books that are kind of transitional works, and these are The Adventures of Martin Luther, which is a book we've had in print for quite a while, 15 years or so, and it is a full-color story told in rhyme about Luther and the teachings of his teachings and the events of the Reformation, and then how those are significant to us today. And that has two versions. We have a child size or student size version that's like an 8x10 size that a kid would hold. And then we have a big book version of that that the teacher would hold as she or he is telling that story to the classroom. Now, the thing about this one, it told in rhyme, it's a rhythmic kind of presentation, and we know that that kind of sticks in our brains as we're hearing that sing-songy presentation of information. The language here is a little advanced, so I think that a third or fourth grader would grasp the content and the story. It also presupposes some familiarity with Luther and the Reformation. So it's a way to reinforce what these earlier materials have built on. And then we have a picture book called Martin Luther, A Man Who Changed the World. That's written by Paul Meyer. And that's also very visually appealing with some finely done full-color illustration. And that book captures the drama and the adventure of those early years, especially of the Reformation, and the danger that Luther was in, and the tension between Luther and his followers and the Roman Church. So it's an adventure story, and I think it would do a terrific job of engaging that child's sense of urgency and drama and the profound change that was going on in those years. So those two books together help reinforce that early knowledge that they've been getting since preschool. So if they are hearing these stories every October, or maybe they're not limited to October, of course, but every year at about this time as a school or a church would be presenting this curriculum, they're going to it's going to further their understanding of the significance of those events and how those events affected the entire world, not just Germany.
And not just those who followed, who subscribed to the same teachings as Luther. It affected everybody.
It did. It changed. It did reform everything from the church to education to the home to music to in technology. We know how the printing press and how paper manufacturing changed and how ink manufacturing changed. All those things worked together in history to make the timing of the Reformation work.
I have used both of these books, The Adventures of Martin Luther, both the big book and the small book, and Paul Meyer's book as well. And The Adventures of Martin Luther, the rhyming book, as I call it. We used the big book at a Reformation event at our congregation, those who were helping tell the story that evening were dressed in period costume, and it was actually one of our high school students that read the story to children, and then we, as a gift to each of the children who attended that evening, we gave them a copy of the student size book as well to take home. So they heard the story there, and then they had a copy of the book to take home so they could read the story again at home, maybe read it to their parents, to friends, and their parents were there certainly that evening to hear the story as well. That was a great way to use both of those, the big book and the student size book in conjunction. They heard the story there from a quote unquote character at the event, and then took the book home, their own personal size copy of the book home, so they could remember the story at home.
Yeah, that's a wonderful example of how those kinds of resources can work together and how they can be used not just in the classroom but in the church and in the home. And that kind of presentation will stick. It'll be a memory that the children who were there will take with them forever.
And especially because it rhymes.
Yeah.
It really does stick with you.
Yeah, it does. The author of that book is one of my colleagues here. Well, she's recently retired, Carolyn Burke, and she has a lifelong experience in the classroom, so she knows what works. And she has a great deal of experience working with children. She knows how to keep them engaged and how to reinforce that, the learning of those concepts.
Now, that's interesting because just yesterday we spoke with our friends at Saxon Lutheran Memorial, which was the home of the Berkt brothers. So yeah. I wonder if her family is related to them.
I imagine that they are. Yeah.
It's a small Lutheran world sometimes.
It is, yeah.
So we've got some great resources for young children working upward.
Yes. Then we have quite a few books that are appropriate for the fourth grader through, well, on up to adulthood, actually. These books are directed at that a certain reading level, and they provide a great deal of background about Luther and about the Reformation. What we have found is that adults like them just as much as the students do. One of them is a book that's part of our Lutheranism 101 series. This is Lutheranism 101 for kids. And that book specifically teaches about the catechism and its application. But we do include a short biography of Luther and his significance, of course, in the development of the catechism and its use. But it does talk about how his work and his ministry helped to establish the Reformation and how that continues to this day. It's just two pages, but it's a great introduction to Luther and how he intended the catechism to work. And we know that's exactly how the catechism works. It's Luther's plan for that resource as a tool for families to use in the home and as a tool for Christian education. Then we have a book that I helped develop. It's called Luther, the Graphic Novel, Echoes of the Hammer.
I love this one.
This is the result of a brainstorming session we had with one of the people on our marketing team. And at about the time that we were developing this book, graphic novels were really catching on. And we saw lots of fiction, lots of a great deal of fiction that was developed in that genre. And then we were beginning to see some Bible characters, their stories being told through this particular genre, the graphic novel. So we said, why not Luther? He has a great story. So we developed this book, and we worked with an illustrator from Scotland, and we had so much fun with it. It is very visual, as graphic novels are. We included a lot of information in here about what was going on in Germany, what was going on in Rome, who Charles V of Spain was, and why his role in that time in history was so significant in the Reformation. And then one of my favorite parts about this in this book is the timeline that we included in the back, and that gives a great deal of just brief facts about what was going on in the rest of the world. The Columbus arriving in the Americas, for example, and what was going on in England with Henry, and Anne Boleyn, for example, is included in there, and what was going on in Asia and Africa. So it gives a world history context to Luther and the Reformation. We've helped to kind of blow out that small area in the world to give especially the public school kids information about that part of world history. I went to a public school, so mm-hmm. we learned a lot about American history and then European history, and this helps feed into that to give a really rounded understanding of how all of those events were working together. Travel, for example, and exploration and communication and art and music and education, how all of those sciences and cultural activities were changing, how all of that made that was just the right time for the Reformation to happen. It could not have happened any earlier.
We need to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk more about that resource and what's associated with it as well.
Okay.
All right. So stick around.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Texas is running out of pentobarbital, the drug they use to execute convicted murderers. The Danish drug company that makes it found out what Texas officials were doing. That's the problem. They oppose the death penalty. It was brought to their attention by groups like Amnesty International that's officially pro-abortion. Yes, a human rights organization that supports the brutal and barbaric act of abortion. It's also ironic there's so much attention and passion dedicated to convicted killers in Texas when each day in America over 3,000 innocent unborn babies are executed by abortion. I'd like to see Amnesty and the drug makers manufacturing Digoxin to stop selling it to late-term abortionists as a key tool of their deadly trade. Let's give priority to the innocent.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to join us for Issues Etc. weekday afternoons from 3 to 5. Issues Etc. is a live call-in show with a twofold purpose. First, we defend and teach the truths rediscovered during the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. Second, we challenge today's postmodern culture with its unbiblical ideology.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio.
338!
Protect yourself and those around you by getting your flu vaccine. It is your best defense against the flu. Annual vaccination against flu is recommended for all people 6 months of age and older, unless they have a condition or medical reason not to get the vaccine. Stay in the game, get vaccinated, and help us tackle the flu.
To find a flu vaccine clinic near you, go to mo.gov and click on the flu vaccine locator. This message is brought to you by the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Becoming a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor is easy in the 21st century. First, pick a reason to celebrate, a birthday, an anniversary, or other event, and call me, Mary Schmidt, or Joni Harwell at 1-800-844-0524. For helping support the worldwide outreach of KFUO, you'll receive announcements on KFUO for a special date honoring your day sponsorship. Call us at 1-800-844-0524.
Lawyers for Hobby Lobby have asked the U.S. Supreme Court to take up the company's lawsuit against the federal health care law's contraceptive coverage mandate. The Green family, which owns Hobby Lobby and Mardell Christian Bookstore, believes life begins at conception, so the mandate would force them to either violate their religious beliefs or pay millions of dollars in fines. The government argues the Greens have religious rights, but their companies don't. Kyle Duncan of the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty says,
"We think that both the businesses the Greens have founded and run for 40 years according to their religious principles, and the Greens themselves have rights that the courts should vindicate in these cases. That's what the 10th Circuit decided."
The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has filed a notice in federal court that it will appeal that decision. Duncan says,
"The case presents extremely important issues that affect thousands of businesses around the nation and many millions of people who work for businesses."
I'm Steve Coleman.
500 years ago, one man's faith in God shook a continent to its core. And with a backbone of steel, he stood against Rome, convinced by God that salvation is a free gift and cannot be bought. Luther, the graphic novel. Echoes of the Hammer.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and today we are talking about resources to help your family be Reformation ready. And we're talking with editor Peggy Keady from Concordia Publishing House. If you'd like to join the conversation today, you can do so. If you have a question, you can join the conversation. You can call us at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now, Peggy, before we went to break, we were talking about this graphic novel, Luther, Echoes of the Hammer. And as we came back from break, I just couldn't resist. I had to play the soundbite from the audio from that game. And I have to say, I'm not very good at the game yet. So tell us about we heard about the graphic novel and how it gives us a good picture of the history, puts everything in context for that young reader, but then took it one step further and decided to go interactive.
We did, and that game, it's a free app, and we developed that specifically to help promote the graphic novel. So we had a lot of fun with it, and that the audio clip you played gives an indication of the tone that the game takes. It's chasing, or Luther is, the game is Luther traveling through the countryside, escaping on his way to Wartburg Castle. So it's part of this adventure that we emphasize in some of these books, some of these resources for younger readers. So it helps to capture that sense of urgency and that sense of, that very real danger that Luther was in during those months and a couple of years, where he had a death warrant on his head. So. That was just a fun thing for us to develop here at CPH, and it was actually the only app I've ever worked on at CPH. We have a number of apps, but that was the only one I had the privilege of working on.
And I'm doing horribly at the game right now.
You probably have to be about 10 years old, and then you'll do much.
Perhaps. I put it on my iPad a while back, and I guess I just don't practice enough. I would be horrible at rescuing Luther, apparently. No, it's a great app, and I think it does a fine job of using technology that we've been given today to connect young people with the history of Luther and how God restored the truth of His Word to the church.
Well, it really is the use of technology that has that helped the Reformation take place, and it has helped us, has helped CPH and the Christian Church to continue to communicate the gospel. The reformers used the printing press. We're using that was new technology then. Mm-hmm. We're using new technology like apps and smart boards in classrooms and variety of digital resources, ebooks, Kindle books, to help further this message. It's the same message, but we're using all of the tools that are presented to us, that are available to us, to help keep that message fresh and in front of a new audience.
Sure. The Pray Now app, which is essentially Treasury of Daily Prayer, we use it daily here. At KFUO, and I before I came to KFUO, we were using it daily, and it really does a nice job of. This is a great resource for families and for individuals too. Treasury of Daily Prayer is a great resource. It's nice. It's a great way to pray daily. It gives you a plethora of great things to use to encourage and support your prayer life, to focus on daily readings. It's a great tool for that. But some of us aren't so good at keeping the pages keeping the pages marked that we need. And so this app, for those of us who aren't very good at keeping track of those pages, the app just it takes you right to the daily readings, and even various orders of prayer for the day, praying the hours. It's just a great tool for that. So.
Yeah, and you don't have to carry that book around with you either. And it's a
True.
Beautiful book.
It is. Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot easier to have the app on your phone or right. your tablet than it mm-hmm. is to transport that book.
Absolutely, yeah. Then you have it with you all the time, which it really then lives up to the name of the app, Pray Now.
Yeah,
you can pray wherever you are. You know, when you have that, and you're right. It's on my phone, but and it's also on the iPad as well. And so it's really convenient to have with you. And that's really what our culture is about today, isn't it? Convenience.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, mobility. Mm-hmm. So we do our best. to help make that possible. And as you said, that PrayNow app is so well done. It's so convenient. There's really everybody has that opportunity to have that content and that the discipline that it takes to incorporate that into your daily life now is we've made that easier.
It transcends that part of our culture that says everything has to be easy. I have to be able to get to it in two clicks is basically how our culture operates. And the PrayNow app, I think, has really done that and makes it very easy to, I mean, obviously we can pray anywhere, anytime, but this gives you the content, as you were talking about, especially when we don't know what to pray. And it points us to God's word, which is ultimately what we should be praying. Mm-hmm. Back to the Reformation resources. So we've looked at the graphic novel Luther, The Echoes of the Hammer, and the app, which is essentially a great game to engage the young reader. Anything else for young readers that you wanted to highlight?
Yes, there are a couple of more for the middle school reader. We have a more extensive biography. It's called Luther, A Biography of a Reformer. And we've had this book in print since the 1960s, I think 1962. So it's been in continuous print for that length of time, and that's remarkable for any printed resource. That's an indication to us that the content, the content is still very solid, and the reader, the market, wants that content. So we have a new edition. It's still the same material. It's in a new package with a freshened up cover and an expanded history timeline, similar to what we have in Luther the graphic novel. This is one of those books that we published for 6th or 7th grade student, but then adults read it all the time too. So we have a much broader audience for this book than we did originally, or that we thought we would have originally. So this is a history of Luther, and it's an expanded history of the Reformation, expanded from the graphic novel. And then a support piece we have is called Inside the Reformation, and this is a full-color encyclopedia of sorts that it gives a lot of detail about the history of the world and what things looked like, and little articles about music and medicine and art, for example, or the Peasants' War. So there are many photographs and many short articles, and I love this book. It's great for people like me who just like to absorb information. If you watch the History Channel or documentaries, PBS, for example, this book will appeal to you. The information is dense, but it's presented in nuggets, in short paragraphs that are easy to digest. And then the photos are of places that are in existence now, of actual historical artifacts or a representation of items or of tools and implements that people would have used at that time. And then there are also illustrations, drawings, and paintings that were commissioned specifically for this work. So it's great fun. It's a beautifully designed and presented book. Then that is called Inside the Reformation. And then we have, then we move up to materials that would be more appealing to an adult, a teen or an adult readership. We have a history called the Protestant Reformation that is a dense, full history of all of that era, the English Reformation, the Catholic Church's response and the renewal that took place as a result of Luther's efforts in Germany. And we have a collection of books about Katharina von Bora, about Katie Luther, who was so critical to Luther's life and was a reformer in her own right. We have a book for younger readers called Katharina von Bora, Hero of Faith. And that's definitely written for a school-aged child, a fourth, fifth, sixth grade readership. And then three other biographies that they present the same material, but it's just presented in a different style, mm-hmm. or a different an expanded level of an expanded amount of information.
We were talking about technology earlier, and I noticed several of the books, some of the books that you've mentioned are available in not just in print, but in electronic format as well.
Yes.
I noticed that some of them are available in Kindle. And for me, that's the format generally that I would use, because I can use that on a Kindle or an iPad or even online, you know, on a PC. So then I don't have to carry the book around all over the place with me. So I like that. And even with some of them, you can even, if you can endure it, the text to audio version, the text to voice version, and I'll sometimes listen to books in the car. Obviously, it's not the dramatic version, but yeah. I like that technology. I appreciate the fact that Concordia Publishing House is getting realizing that these technologies are useful and you know, user friendly, and I like being able to, you know, read these books on my Kindle. I can take 100 books with me wherever I go.
Well, and that's one of the things that the publishing industry is experiencing right now is how to address these different technologies and how to provide the content to people who want to employ these different technologies. So it's been a sea change for publishing in the way we deliver the material. The work, the development, the editing, the design, that all still takes place. But then it's the distribution of that material that has undergone this dramatic change. So sometimes we are even coming out with a Kindle version before a print version.
Sure. I would imagine it makes it a little bit easier.
It doesn't.
Oh.
It's quicker. It's a quicker delivery. You can download a book from Amazon.com in a matter of seconds, as opposed to ordering on the phone and having it shipped to you.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. So all great resources. You were talking about books for the adult audience, and I cut you off talking about technology. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
where did we leave off?
We were talking about the material that's about Katharina von Bora.
Yes.
And what's of interest to me is that she had a great deal of responsibility in that household. She ran that household very efficiently, and it was a business. There was manufacturing, there was entertaining, there was education of her children. She did business in the community. And then after Luther's death, her source of income went away. So she was poverty stricken. And so she has a very it's a poignant story, but the interaction between Martin and Katie is very well documented in their letters to one another. There was a great deal of affection and humor in their relationship, and his experience in the home with a wife helped to guide and influence his writing then about marriage and about education. So that's why we say that Katharina had a secondary but a profound impact on the Reformation and the life of the Christian at home, in the family. They were the model for Christian marriage that we still follow today, the model for Christian education that our church body has embraced and developed for 160 years. It's interesting to me as a reader, as a learner, to find out more about the daily life and the practical application and the influence of the doctrine and the culture that I live in.
Sure, and that perspective on family life, the family life of the Luther family, that I know that I've heard of a number of things, including the opera, Katie Luther at the Opera, that's coming up right around the corner and telling that story as well. So perhaps the untold story of the Reformation, Katie. We don't always hear enough about Katie. Mm. So
no, we don't, because she wasn't a public figure the way her husband was, but she was definitely part of those table talks and part of those lessons and sessions that took place in the Luther home. Mm-hmm. And then another book, while we still have time, I want to make sure that I mention is Reading the Psalms with Luther, which we released a number of years ago. And this is a collection of all 150 psalms and Luther's notes about each psalm, what he learned from the psalms and what he wanted others to know about them. There's a little introductory paragraph and then a prayer. And this is all translated. This is Luther's works. It's not Luther's writing. It's not interpretation or expository about what Luther said. It's his teaching. And this is also a wonderful devotional resource to use in the home. I've had a great deal of joy reading his notes and his comments about the psalms.
It's kind of neat seeing the title, Reading the Psalms with Luther, by Martin Luther.
Yeah.
Seeing the author is Martin Luther.
We have also a devotional. It's a daily devotional called Through Faith Alone, which is a collection of 365 daily devotionals that are also Luther's writings. And we've had that in print for probably, 15 or 20 years. Still a popular resource among our customers. So there is any number of ways that people can learn from Luther and enjoy his writings and dig deeper into Scripture and live out the gospel daily. We can help with almost any kind of item, any kind of printed item that a listener might want, including Luther's works. Mm-hmm. We're right now, CPH has a Reformation sale on our website. There's some more information, but we have a number of items that have a reduced price through the month of October. And then that order placed at our website, www.cph.org, offers free shipping for an amount over $79. It's not hard to come up with an $80 order, no matter where you shop online. You buy a pair of shoes and you've hit that practically. But so it's a great deal, and free shipping is a very attractive offer, I mm-hmm. think, right now. And that sale goes on until Reformation Day, October 31st.
Wonderful. And so that's at cph.org, or they can call and place an order as well, and that's 1-800-325-3040, correct?
That's correct.
Any other resources? We've got just about 5 minutes left to cover other resources that families might use to learn about or celebrate the Reformation.
We do have a collection of CDs. This is, speaking of technology, CDs are a little bit of an older technology. We have some music available on iTunes as well. But this CD collection is 4 CDs, and it is 69, I believe, 39 tracks. It's his ballads and hymns and chants. And then there's a booklet that goes along with that set of CDs that gives a little bit of a history, a little bit of explanation and background for each of those hymns. It also talks about Luther as a musician. That's one of the things that we know about him, and one of the some of the rich legacy that he has left the church is his contribution as a musician, a composer, and a lyricist. Luther, by emphasizing the power of music in the worship service, did help to change the worship service, and we still honor that and follow that service that he helped to devise. So this collection does offer some hymns that people throughout all of Christendom know, and a mighty fortress. Mm-hmm. I live in a little town in Illinois, and our Catholic Church plays that on their bell tower, plays a mighty fortress, and it just cracks me up.
If only they knew.
If only they knew. Yeah, and the Savior of the nations come. So a number of Lord, keep us steadfast in your word, a number of the hymns that we know and love from our worship service. And then we have a great deal of materials for pastors, for students and pastors to learn about Luther and about his theology. And our catalog on our website does explain the breadth of these resources. There are dozens and dozens of books that dig deep into Luther's theology and the practical application of his doctrine. I invite listeners to check out our website or look at a catalog and take a peek at some of those materials. Our website does offer a look inside feature, so they can look at an introduction or a table of contents and get a really good feel for what that book offers.
Mm-hmm. And some other nifty things on there, if you're celebrating the Reformation at home, maybe. I don't know if gift giving is appropriate on Reformation. It might be for some, but there are some neat things, especially some Luther Rose items, which are pretty neat. Even the Luther Rose Mobile, which would be great for a Reformation party or celebration at home, or however you might be observing Reformation.
Yeah, that particular item is very popular for classrooms, but I think it would be fun. I think it's a great idea to have a Reformation party. There's a large one and a small one that are available. And some of those gift items are what's on sale, the Luther pins, and a variety of items that have that Luther Rose stamped or engraved on it. And many of our resources do offer an explanation of that rose and what the symbolism of all those components. Lutheranism 101 for kids, for example, includes that explanation, and the Luther graphic novel does as well.
Or if you want to go all out, you could go for the Luther bust.
Yes, you could. We have one of those here, and it is really cool.
It is. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty neat stuff. So the books, an app, a couple of apps, actually, the game or Treasury of Daily Prayer, Pray Now app,
we
music.
We also have a new mobile version of the Catechism.
That's right.
We just released it.
And that's available online.
Yes.
Just go to cph.org/catechism, correct?
Yes.
And that'll take you to that app or that mobile version. And great, great tool. I checked it out just the other day when I heard about it. And so you can have your catechism with you at all times.
Yeah, you really can. Again, that's this historical use of technology that we have continued to employ.
And what a blessing it is. Sometimes we think of technology as being, something that distracts us, but in this case, it's being used to help us, to support us in a faithful prayer life and faithful family life, which is what this program is all about. And we use technology for this program as well.
Yeah.
Well, Peggy, I really appreciate your time today, spending some time talking about these great resources and the work that you're doing there at Concordia Publishing House to put these resources in the hands of families and especially parents as they're teaching the truth of God's word and this valuable, important history to their young ones. We really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Andy. It has been my pleasure.
Wonderful. Coming up on the next Faith and Family, we're going to talk with our friends at the Lutheran Heritage Center and Museum in Altenburg, Missouri. So I hope you can join us for that tomorrow, folks. And later on this week, we'll take an in-depth look at the Reformation with Dr. Daniel Van Voorhis from Concordia University Irvine about what the Reformation is really all about and what does it mean for families today. Stick around for Moments of Assurance up next right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.